Last week, I shared with you part one of my talk on holiness at a public speaking event. If you missed it, please go back and listen to episode 101. This week, I want you to hear part two of that same message. Let's get right into it.
How do we live as children of light? How do we live holy? First, you got to make a decision. You got to choose holiness. In Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, I have placed before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you and your descendants might live. This is like a multiple choice question that you're given the answer to,
yeah.
Right? Choose A, life, or B, death. Then you're told, choose A, life, so you can live, right? It doesn't get any more plain than that. Choose life. Choose God's way. And since holiness is God's way, choose holiness. So after you make a decision to live holy, you need to then examine your life. You need to determine whether or not you need to repent for anything. Because repentance is key to a godly life. You have to stop doing the thing that separates you from God and that he is not happy with. And if you're unsure, simply ask God to reveal to you any areas of your life that are keeping you from living holy and that are keeping you from pleasing him. He'll answer. Matthew 3:8 says we are to produce fruit in keeping with repentance, or prove by the way that we live that we have repented of our sins and that we've turned to God. Because repentance doesn't mean anything if you keep doing what you're sorry for.
Right.
False repentance is when you say, I'm sorry, but then you don't turn away or reject the thing that you repented for. You know, there's an expression, and it's sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
But it means your lips say one thing, but your actions are telling a whole other story. True repentance is turning away from the thing that God hates, from sin. It's rejecting it. It's not returning to it. It's walking away from it. True repentance is sorry, change behavior. It means your words and your actions match. Now, James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So you and I will be held accountable by God for what we know is right, for what we know is wrong, for what has been preached to us, for what we've read in God's word, for what we've heard. See, sin separates us from God, and the wages of sin is death. So we need to repent of our sins and get in right standing or right relationship or right position with God. Because when we repent, God blots our transgressions out for his sake. He says, I won't remember your sins anymore. And he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So after you've made a decision to live holy and you've repented of your sins, you need to then move on to sanctification or purification. God is not going to do everything for you. You have to do your part. The Bible says, purify yourselves. Stay away from the very appearance of evil. Hide his word in your heart. Meditate on the word of God. Pray, fast, kill your flesh every day. Obey God's commands and work out your salvation with fear and trembling. These are all things we have to do in order to be in right standing with God, because we're not righteous in and of ourselves. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Without God, there's no righteousness. There's no right standing. Because our righteousness, scripture says, is as filthy rags. And our hearts are so wicked, we don't even know what we're capable of. Scripture says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord must turn away from iniquity. And he who cleanses himself of what is unfit can be an instrument for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. In a nutshell, purifying yourself is aligning your life with God's will and staying away from sin. It's that simple. So after you've made a decision to live holy, you've repented of your sins, you've gone through the process of purification, you need to make sure you're staying connected to the source of power, to our source of power. John 15 says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, a vacuum cleaner or a blender or a microwave, you know, it doesn't come on or work as it's designed or as it should until it's plugged into an electrical outlet, right? Because that's its power source. We have to do the same thing. We have to plug into God every day, who is our power source. We have to read the word. We have to pray. We have to work our salvation and how we live and in the decisions we make every day. Because apart from him, we can't do anything. But we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. So when we invite the Holy Spirit in, you know, to come and live on the inside of us, we don't get a diluted or a weakened version of God. Okay. When my son was little, I would dilute his apple juice with water because I didn't want him to get too much sugar or too much juice. So I would dilute it. That is not how God works. God is up there, yes, and we are down here. But when we invite him in, we get all of what's up there, amen, down here. You get all power up there, down here. You get all strength up there, down here. Okay, on earth as it is in heaven. Scripture says the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The resurrecting power of God operates and lives in you. God has given you power over all the power of the enemy. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. So you have what you need. You have God the Father. You have God the Son. You have God the Holy Spirit. You have the Bible. You have church. You have other believers. You have prayer. You have tools like fasting. What more do you need? Why can't you resist sin? Why can't you overcome evil with good? Why can't you live holy? Romans 6 says we have been given power over sin. And it asks the question, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more his wonderful grace? Once again, we're given the answer. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. So we need to make a decision. Purify yourself. Stay connected to God, your source of power, and then make sure you're being led by the Holy Spirit. Okay? First in your lifestyle, as evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit. Can you all say the fruit of the Spirit with me together? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Very good. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. It's not controlling other people. If you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you will be taught how to control yourself, how to remove the plank out of your own eye so you can see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. This is why we need the Holy Spirit, and we can't live a godly lifestyle without it. You cannot be holy and hollow. Okay, y'all, I just made that up. Okay, you cannot be holy and hollow. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. We need the Holy Spirit to evangelize and communicate God's word. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, Acts 1:8 says. Micah 3:8, but as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us into all truth. John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all of the truth, and he'll declare to you the things that are to come. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. The Holy Spirit's a helper. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So we need to make a decision to be holy. We need to repent. We need to purify ourselves, stay connected to God, our power source, be led by the Holy Spirit, and then we need to be willing to stand out. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, then you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. You cannot live for God trying to blend in with the crowd. Apples don't blend in with oranges. They don't. They never will. It's not possible. It's never going to happen. We shift atmospheres when we walk into a room because of who lives on the inside of us. So we need to make a decision, repent, purify ourselves, stay connected to God, our power source, be led by the Holy Spirit, willing to stand out. And my final one, seek wisdom. If any of you, James 1:5 says, lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and God will liberally give it to you. Wisdom is the principal thing, Proverbs 4:7 says, therefore get wisdom. Proverbs 11:30, he who wins souls is wise. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Blessed are those who find wisdom. We need God's wisdom to know how to live holy. Jesus said in John 5:19, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in the same way. So if you want to live a godly and consecrated life, you need to be like Jesus. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. Use what he gave you. The Bible, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, himself, other believers, prayer, and fasting. Use what he gave you, and you can do it.
That is a wrap on my holiness talk. Hope you received some good takeaways from the message. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Bye for now.